Hello there, my friends. Welcome to Story U Talk Radio. I am delighted you are here to spend this hour with me. We like to talk all about the stories you live by, the stories you are writing, the stories you are dreaming up in the nighttime and getting ready to bring to the page. I am a writing coach here in Seattle, Washington, and I help people write their memoirs and their self-improvement books and their blogs and their recipe books and their travelogues and their speeches. I just might be able to help you with what you want to create. I also take people on writer's retreats. I also offer writing communities for beginner and advanced writers. And on Thursdays every week, I come down here to the radio station and I offer you a brand new topic to think about for your week ahead. I like to use this time as like, it's like a classroom time. I spent 20-some years in a classroom working with college writing students. I loved that. And I just love using this time together to help you get educated on your stories and maybe even taking your calls. We like to do that here. If you feel like calling in, the number is 1-888-298-5569. But you might be more of a writer. And so if you want to write in, you can write to me using any of my socials, or you can send it directly to my email. And that is Debbie@CoachDebbie.com. Debbie@CoachDebbie.com. And Debbie is spelled D-E-B-B-Y. I would love to hear from you. Today we are diving deep into the reasons, shall we say, that writers wait and miss opportunities. There are many ways that writers will pull a wait, or they just won't get supercharged at the right moment. And then some years go by before they find their energy again to try what it was they were up to long ago. They pull the wait. They decide, I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to wait. There are some really, really sneaky ways that our mind convinces us that it would be better to wait. We think we're going to write a book this year, but our mind gets us going on waiting. And when we wait too much, we miss. And it doesn't mean you're going to miss out on everything or your whole life or all of that, but you might miss out on something that was special to you. So today, as a writing coach who has worked with many, many writers and many, many little deceptive ways that we wait out our opportunities, I'm going to show you what some of these waits look like so that you can say, oh, that's me dragging my feet. Oh, that's me not getting engaged. Oh, I thought I was just doing more research. Nah, you're waiting. And I'm going to help you with this. Also know that your writing coach here, Coach Debbie, is someone that writes on the daily, on the weekly. I also know a lot about waiting because I've done plenty of it, and I've caught myself doing plenty of it. So I'm going to tell you some of my favorite ways of missing opportunities and some of my favorite ways now of getting supercharged so that I don't miss opportunities. I've done enough of that in my life. I want to help you with this topic. So if you'd like to write in and get a little help throughout our time together, just write to Debbie@CoachDebbie.com or find me on any of my socials. So let's take a look at this. So you don't say, Miss Coach Debbie, you don't say that writers have this way of many, many misses, many little waits. We have this opportunity in front of us, but we haven't really healed something from the past. We haven't identified what's in the way. And so we just end up waiting on that thing that we wanted to produce. Let me just give you a list of things. One way that a person might wait out an opportunity is by overthinking. Uh-oh, I caught you, because I'm going to take a bet and say 99.9999% of people do just a tad bit of overthinking. That's one way that we wait. Another way is we search out the best advice in the whole world before we get started. The absolute best. Nothing but the best will be good enough. That's a great way to wait and miss an opportunity. Another way is we give our power to others and we say, oh, but I, isn't it funny? I was going to write a book on this topic and then I just read a wonderful book on this topic. So looks like it's covered and I don't need to get on with my book. That's how we wait. We also do this funny thing. We keep our intentions all safe and bottled up. And we don't talk to anybody about them. And that keeps us from making the quick results that we deserve. Here's a sneaky one. We live out in like gray zones. We don't really claim what we want. We don't really deny what we want. We just sort of say, you know, well, if it's meant to be, that book will sort of present itself to me, right? If it's meant to be, that's waiting, honey. That is waiting. How about this one? Doing a little hiding by rehearsing a story over and 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 over again because you're not yet trusting your voice. Any experience with that one? How about this one? How about drifting into that intellect so you don't have to share your heart? Ouch. Ugh, I caught you. Here's the last one. Going off on tangents, running yourself into circles so that straight line of success isn't really happening for you. These are just some ways that we postpone our success as a writer. And we're going to get into that. I would love to help you on any of these or anything else. You may have said, I don't do any of that. I just take in about 17 hours of Netflix a day. That's all. Hey, there's nothing wrong with Netflix, especially if it helps you reconnect to your story. Speaking of which, I want to tell you about something I saw on Netflix. And I'm going to qualify this by saying that it was on a Saturday night after I had done my week of work and delivered my Thursday radio show for you and for me. It was on a Saturday night, me and my honey sitting on the couch, and we decided, yes, it's time for a movie. Let's see what they got. We found a movie I really want to recommend to you, and it's just called The Hill. Now, that's intriguing to me because I always think of The Hill as take the hill, you know, run yourself up the mountain, see where you can get. But The Hill was actually, the main character is Dennis Quaid. Remember good old Dennis Quaid? And, well, he's actually probably the supporting actor. The main character, since it's based on a true life story, his name is Ryan Hill. And if you follow baseball, you might know a thing or two about him. He was someone with a very compromised spine, and as a young boy had braces on his legs. And this is a story, I'm going to try not to spoil it, but this is a story that really, really involves him and his father, two people with two different wills. And what you got to see as the movie played out was that they were both highly intentional, but on opposite principles. One of them really wanted to be athletic, and the other one really wanted to make sure there would be no pursuit in athletic Yeah. I think I'm starting to give a lot away here. I don't want to give away the story because I really want you to see it. But what I want to tell you is that as I watched this story, as I related to both characters, this is something that a great writer will do. They'll help you see the good in both, even though they're on opposite teams. So I'm relating to one character who really wants to explode into all of his potential, but I'm also relating to this other character that really thinks there's a different potential on the horizon, wants to make sure it's not missed. I can see that both really have a good heart. It took me back into stories of being a young girl and realizing there were times where I had a strong, strong will for writing. And for whatever reasons, there were things that took me out of that because I was playing against someone else's strong will. Someone else needed me, you know, or I just felt like I had best wait on this idea to become a published author. I was listening to the will of other people. And then later in life, that became my default setting, that you have to wait. You have to really take care of others before you take care of yourself. And I learned a whole lot about waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting to get to the things that mattered a lot to me. If you relate at all, I really want to recommend that you take a moment and watch The Hill, which is a lot about the will and the will powers, whether they're for us or against us. But it's also about how our mind gets trained to think that it's possible that someone else's will for us is better than the deep calling we have inside. What are we going to do if we start getting trained to listen to that? Well, for one, we're going to find ourselves later on in life having just these automatic ways in which we wait, in which we postpone, in which we miss our opportunities because we're thinking, I can't hurt people. I can't inconvenience people. I can't put someone out. I can't say no to authority. I need to fall in line. I need to do all these things before I say, you know what I really want? I really want to write my book. I really want to write my book this year. I really want to write my book my way. I really want to write my book this year my way with a desired publisher. I really want to write my book my way this year with a desired publisher and see it on the bookshelves everywhere. What if you were so strong in your intent that you could say that? You know what? The old misses, the old weights, the old conditioning, it just wouldn't have the same strength. It wouldn't be able to deny you. If you took on that voice of confidence and instead of saying, I want to write my book this year, but I know that my sweetheart wants to knock off a certification. So I think I think we'll do that. And then next year, I'm gonna start right away with my book. You've probably had to say that many times in many different ways in your life. But if you let the fire start burning underneath your seat, and you get kind of hot, you're going to find that you want to get moving on this right away. And when you know that, all of the weights, all of the misses, all of the ways that you are so conditioned to leave your desires behind, they lose their strength. And you're out there doing the thing you really want to do. But it takes a strong claim, and it takes identifying these weights, these ways that you wait, identifying them so you can move them out of your way and get going on what's important to you. In a minute, we're going to go to a break here, but I just want to go over just this quick little list once again. See if you identify. Do you identify that maybe you wait by really overthinking? Maybe you wait by searching out the best advice of how you're going to do that book. Maybe you wait by giving power to others, or you keep your intentions safe and quiet and unknown. Maybe you're that person that lives in the gray zone, never really making a decision, or you are someone who doesn't trust your own voice. Maybe you're someone who drifts into your intellect, but you're not so centered in your heart, what your heart wants to say. Or maybe you're just that person that finds yourself rambling into tangents and circles and not moving straight away with your plan. I can help you if you're dealing with any of this. I would be more than happy to take your call or to receive your letter today. Let me take a little break right here. And we're going to come back with many ways on how you can get supercharged and quit waiting. We'll be right back.
Did you know your riding coach, Coach Debbie, is also a master-level life coach trained by Hay House author Alan Cohen? She's offering free 30-minute consultations to anyone, not just riders, who are wanting to discuss a big stretchy life goal, which might include, how can I work on my bucket list?
How can I better relate to my children, spouse, boss, or in-laws?
What should I do about aging and feeling scared to be seen?
How might I double my income fast?
Email Coach Debbie at CoachDebbie.com/connect for more information. And right now you can also enroll in Coach Debbie's April course, The Story Immersion. You'll receive 8 pre-recorded classes throughout April that you can listen to on your own timeline. As a listener of the podcast, you qualify to save 50%. Simply email Coach Debbie by visiting CoachDebbie.com/connect. And get started on the life goal or writing project you've been dreaming about.
Welcome back, my friends. We're talking about getting supercharged and quit the waiting game with your writing. I know that sometimes we can be conditioned to put our writing at number 67 on our list of things we would like to see completed. I really do. I was actually in a consultation with a woman just yesterday, and she was telling me how she just really can't see having any time to write. And I said, then don't. And she went, oh, really? And I said, well, if you can't see that you have any time to do it, then clearly you have other things you want to do. Now, I really wasn't trying to practice any child psychology on her. But she was like, well, now, you know, wait a minute here. I do think that while my kids are at school, there's a possibility. And I said, okay. And she goes, but, you know, not every day. There's no way I could commit to every day. And I said, okay, well, you don't have to do it every day. In fact, you don't have to do it at all. She's like, well, now, wait a minute. I think in the evening I might actually have a little more time. I mean, especially, you know, after my husband gets home. And I said, okay. And she's like, but, you know, not every day. And what started to emerge was that somewhere inside of her, she believed that if she wasn't doing this every day for hours, then why do it at all? We get conditioned into ideas that A, never served us, and B, probably aren't true. They're just our conditioning, and that's it. They're nothing more. They're just our conditioning. We read somewhere that this wonderful author that we love to follow wrote 8 hours a day. But if you dug a little deeper, you might realize that that person was writing in the 1800s when there was only 8 hours of light a day, and there wasn't this need for everything else like we have in our technological society, and they had the comforts to write 8 hours a day and to sleep and to do such things that maybe in our age we're not doing. Maybe it's possible that they wrote 8 hours a day on the days they wrote, and we got that confused as every day, 8 hours. No matter what. That's just a condition that we took in and programmed our mind with, and we end up using it to wait and to miss out on opportunities. Instead, I would love to see you feel supercharged. I'd love to see you say, oh, you know what? I know I have a memoir in me. I've been thinking about the theme. I've been thinking about the issues that I want to work with my readers on. I've got it narrowed down to 5 things I could really help them with. I think it's possible that people reading my book could even have a level of transformation. When you're thinking that way, you are realizing that a certain strength comes out of writing your story. You know that by doing it, you're not only changing yourself, but you're changing others. And you also know that once this book is finished, you're going to be just like my more recent client, Becky Gibler, where you never go back to the old way. Becky now has a book that is always in front of her that she's working on. Currently, she is working on book 3, and she has started to dabble in book 4. But ever since she wrote that first book, she moved into second book right away and realized it makes her happy to be involved in writing a book. That is her new way of life. And I don't hear her saying that she feels she has to do it 8 hours a day or in a certain way, etc., etc., etc. She's found a particular groove that works for her, and she still has family life. She still has a working life. She still has vacations. And those, I think, are the things that we fear will go away. I often used to fear deeply that if I gave myself to my writing, then my income would dry up and I'd end up living in a van down by the river. I mean, I had very, very scary ideas around this. And it made me wait and wait and wait and wait even longer, because the fear of being in a van down by the river for the rest of my life was pretty strong. Now, we do this to ourselves. I hope you realize that. Nobody showed up in front of me and said, ah, Deb, hate to tell you, you know, it's in your future, a van down by the river. And it wasn't at all. It was just an illusion I created. But where did I create that? It started with my first point here. I got into overthinking instead of actually doing the writing. I got into overthinking that if I don't have several hours a day, there's no reason to get started because I'll never get it done. I was overthinking about how other successful authors might do it. I was overthinking of how you even get started. I wasn't in the process. One day, while I was just dabbling with a writing group, and I was probably, it's probably early 30s. I know I was in graduate school. So I was probably like 31 or 2. And I'm in a writer's group and I'm really enjoying it. And I'm finding that I can write like a maniac because every week we have to show up and read what we have. And there was no way I was going to show up empty-handed. The simple act of having this writer's group and the pressure that I needed to read out loud to them every week broke me of the notion that there was a particular way that I had to get it done. I mean, the pressure was on. I was going to humiliate myself if I didn't have something new each week. I wasn't like this other guy, Jamie, that was in the group. And I think he took a certain joy in making up really dramatic, really, really huge excuses of why, once again, he didn't have anything to read to us. That's what he was hooked on. I was hooked on the stress of actually having something to present. But in doing it, I untricked my mind. I went from being someone who overthought about how to actually do it to being someone that didn't want to embarrass herself. The next thing you know, I'm writing every week and I'm looking and seeing, wow, I had a lot more time for this than I thought. And it didn't require 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day. Nothing like that at all. But I thought it did because I was doing nothing. When you get in front of a coach that can either tell you the truth about their story and the thousands of people they've helped through a story, or if you hook up with your favorite author and get them talking about their story, you're going to find that your thinking was just a nightmare you were creating in your head. It isn't the truth. It's an illusion. And if you can let yourself just start to see what might give me a supercharge, what might light me up so I get going on this, and I'm not the overthinker that misses out all the time. Let's take a little look here on the note that came in from Mandy, who says, I relate to one of those points that you made about missing opportunity. I am someone who will put others before me, but I have no idea how I would do life any other way. Can you speak to this? I am a mom of 2. I am married. My in-laws live with me, and I am very active at the school. Okay, I'm going to stop right there, Mandy. You are busy. And one thing that we often do in our overthinking is we give priority to that which keeps us busy. So I'm going to ask you, are all the things that keep you busy also offering you a feeling of joy and delight? Now, I'm sure your children and your husband give you a joy and delight. I am certain of it, as well as other things you listed. But is it possible that every now and then working, maybe it's your volunteering? Did I sense that? You're volunteering at the school? Is it possible that you say yes, sometimes out of pressure and not strictly from that sense of joy and delight that you might offer them? Is there a boundary that you could offer them, such as, I would like to work on one campaign a quarter with the school, as opposed to just any last thing they need? Is there a way you can start to look at your priorities so that you're not coming up with, I am busy, as your default setting, but you're looking at, I have really sussed out my priorities and I've added writing to the list. Is that something possible for you? Think about that. Get back to me. I do like your question very much. And I want to let you know I was ruled by the idea of busy for years. And I know that it doesn't end until you drop the idea of I am so busy and you start to look at, what are my priorities? What is it that I want to prioritize? And if writing makes the list, bump it up somewhere so that it's more at the top of the list. I would call that my third point, giving power to others, like a school. Maybe your in-laws. When we give our power to them, the next thing you know, we're a little too busy and we're not doing something that we said would bring us joy. I also want people to think about this. What are the ways that you hang out in the gray zone? You know, doing things that are just, they're all right. They're not your really happy things, but they're okay. And so you do them. You do more of them. You don't stop doing them. You're sort of trained that this is where you need to hang out. What if instead you prioritized a thing or two around your writing that really, really gave you joy? A woman that is part of my one-on-one coaching, her name is Diana, she puts out a blog, and it is a joy to go and read her blog because, as she says, every time she sits down to write a blog, she does it because she's happy. She does not allow herself to write if for any reason she's feeling sadness, doubt, competition, any of those feelings that are normal for a writer to go through. She comes to her blog feeling joyful and delighted. And you can tell when you read her blog. You can tell that she had just been somewhere tasting new pastries and had a great idea for her blog. You can tell she was just with her little goddaughter and they were playing and being really lively and creative. And she wants to share about what it means to be with a small child, but in an adult's body that sort of, could we say, borrows the creativity of a child. She just wrote about this, and I was sitting there reading it the whole time with a big smile on my face. Diana doesn't let herself get into the gray zones of what will be, or we'll just have to see if I end up having enough time for my book or my blog. Mm-mm. She's someone that knows writing and her joys go together. So when she's in a place of joy, she asks herself, do I want to write about this? And if she does, she goes and does it. I realize if you're working 80 hours a week, that's hard to do. But maybe that's what's keeping you in the waiting zone and the missing out zone with your writing. Maybe you're just really busy, and if you looked at what you prioritized, it wouldn't be 80 hours of work a week. And maybe there's a way to bring it down to, say 35 or 40 hours. There's a way to cut it in half. I betcha, if you took a little look at that, you might get out of the busy might get out of the overthinking, might get out of the fact that others take the place of what you prioritize, or being stuck in that gray zone of, it just is this way for now. I'll just have to see what evolves someday. What about this one, my friends? Are you a person who will hide behind a rehearsed story, one you've told again and again and again, that got a lot of laughs, a lot of chuckles, to put off trusting your voice in telling a new story or making public a new story? There's someone that I see in a familiar circle every now and then, and whenever I see him, and there's, you know, sort of a hush in the room, he decides he's got to break out this ha-ha story that really makes fun of someone public. It always gets a ton of laughs. I've heard it probably somewhere between 5 and 95 times, and I don't need to hear it again. I honestly think he's got the thing memorized. And yet, it keeps serving him because it gets chuckles. It makes people lighten up in a group. But on the other hand, when he and I have sort of stepped aside and I've said, hey there, how is that book coming along? He said, oh, yeah, I do. I wanna get to that. And I know it's going to be a hit. I just feel it. But yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure why that hasn't happened yet. And I want to say, well, guess what? I am sure. I'm sure why that hasn't happened yet. You're not trusting in the new story. If he hired me, I'd probably tell him that on day one. You got to trust in your voice. You got to trust that when that familiar story that you still tell again and again and again starts to get old, there was a time when it was new and you trusted your voice in it and you offered it. People liked it. People laughed. And it's time for a new story. And that'll set you free, my friends. You won't miss out on opportunities. You won't have to wait. You'll find that you have loads of content, and that moves you forward. We got more to say on this topic, so please stick with me. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Did you know your writing coach, Coach Debbie, is also a master-level life coach trained by Hay House author Alan Cohen? She's offering free 30-minute consultations to anyone, not just writers, who are wanting to discuss a big, stretchy life goal, which might include, how can I work on my bucket list?
How can I better relate to my children, spouse, boss, or in-laws?
What should I do about aging and feeling scared to be seen?
How might I double my income fast?
Email Coach Debbie at CoachDebbie.com/connect for more information. And right now you can also enroll in Coach Debbie's April course, The Story Immersion. You'll receive 8 pre-recorded classes throughout April that you can listen to on your own timeline. As a listener of the podcast, you qualify to save 50%. Simply email Coach Debbie by visiting CoachDebbie.com/connect. And get started on the life goal or writing project you've been dreaming about.
Hey there, my friends. Are you missing out on the opportunity to really get into your book and see it come to life? I have worked with people that have written their book in as short as half a year. And I'm talking idea, sitting down with the chapters, writing it out, getting it to the editor, getting it in print, seeing it on Amazon. That's not the pace I think I could go at, but it is a pace that many people do work at. There's also the fact that some people work at a nice clip when they write their first draft, and then they give themselves plenty of time to work with that editor to really polish it up nicely, seek out the publisher that they desire, etc., etc. Having a 2-year timeline is not out of the ordinary. In fact, that is a nice amount of time to have from idea to launch. Now, most of us are going to fall in between there, but what you don't want to do is be on the 30-year plan that you thought something up 3 decades ago, and you've just finally halted a few things in your life so you can sit down and start writing. If you're making it into a chore, it will take 30 years, or it may never even get done. But if you need some help with that, I would love to offer you 2 different ways. One, you just heard in the break that we are right now, for 50% off, I have a pre-recorded class that I can start to send to you on the 1st of April. And this is 8 sections. You can watch it on your own timeline. And it will really help you go from not quite knowing exactly how to coach yourself into being a storyteller to having the fundamentals and a lot of help with the mindset. It's for 50% off right now at $399. That price will go up very soon. There might also be the opportunity that you would like some in-person and maybe a little community coaching. This is taking place at my retreat in Santa Barbara. I will be offering June and September retreat. The newsletters just started going out about, maybe a week ago. So if you're not receiving my newsletter and all of that, I'd love to send it to you. Just go to CoachDebbie.com and sign up for the newsletter. You'll get all the great news. You just need to put down your deposit and then pick which of the several packages you like the most. And we go from just basic tuition, you know, for the 4 days, all the way up to a very luxurious package that includes a writer's program for 6 months. So you get to pick the one end, the other end, the middle, whatever suits you best. I would love to see you there. Go to CoachDebbie.com and sign up for the newsletter to find out all about the retreat in Santa Barbara. Meanwhile, it is my agenda to keep you from missing out on opportunities to write your book. There are opportunities that come and stand smack in front of us, and we, by our own conditioning, will say things like, "I'm too busy right now. I don't think I can afford that today. I think I'll have to talk to my sweetie pie. I might be able to do that in a couple years. Actually, I think when I retire, and I'm actually going to retire at 80 because I have a very important job, I think I could get to it then." We get ourselves programmed that the thing we said we want to do, we really want to write our book. We really want to see it in the world. We want to monetize it. We want all the benefits of that coming our way. We say it, but yet we have conditioned our life so that we think we're too busy to even begin. That's how we miss out on the opportunities. I was sitting with a friend over coffee, and she told me, this was a painful, painful day some years ago. We were sitting together over coffee, and she told me, "By the way, my book will be coming out in the summer." And I said, "Oh, really? last I heard, you had just started working on it. And she said, well, yeah, but I signed up for that class. And I'm like, what class? And she said, the one you and I, we were at the conference. That class was offered. I signed up for it. I said, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And she said, you should have, too, because then you'd be having a book coming out in summer. And I remember just feeling so ashamed, so embarrassed that in her life, she saw an opportunity. In my life, when that opportunity was presented at the conference, I just saw it as just this unbearable weight. There's no way I could take on more. Not now. She got her book out. You want to know how much money my friend has made on that book over the last several years? I'll just tell you this. She's now a world-class traveler. It worked out for her. Coach Debbie missed the opportunity. Why? Because Coach Debbie thought she was busy. Well, she was busy, but she didn't need to be busy. And that's what Coach Debbie didn't understand way back there when she was working 70 hours a week, staying late after class, making excuses about why she wasn't available. I mean, if the school hadn't paid for me to go to that conference with my teacher friend, I might not have even had the opportunity put right under my nose. But even then, I missed it. My friend didn't, but I did. When an opportunity is put in front of you, if it calls to your heart, if it feels like it could in any way be a priority to you, you owe it to yourself to see, how might I right now break out of some of my conditioning? How might I leave some of the patterns behind? We are going to work on tried and true ways at the retreat to quickly, and I really do mean very quickly, break these habits of busyness, because they cause us to miss opportunities. They cause us to feel bad about ourselves. They cause us to get into these middle zones where we start to say, maybe it wasn't meant to be for me. Now, you might know that I was on quite the journey last August and September and October and November and December with my sweetheart, because he came home on our 12-year anniversary to announce that he had cancer, and it was a big deal. He also came home a few days ago to announce that he's now cancer-free. So good job, honey. We beat that one. But at that time, at that early time, I was nose down early mornings in writing a book. And I had to figure out, am I going to be able to continue to give it the same energy, or is it going to have to move to the side? My first thought was, well, maybe he can pay for my business so I can move my business to the side and keep writing. That definitely was not an option. So what I decided to do was put my nose even deeper into creating more business so that this year I could have more time to do a little more writing. Started to create for myself an opportunity. Also started to do things, set up things for my future so I could find myself landing in my prioritized future. In other words, I looked up an editor and I asked her, in 6 months to a year from now, could I reserve time on your books? I looked up a literary agent. I looked up a publishing company that is full, how would we say it? Layman's terms is basically they're the full meal deal. Let's say that. They're the full meal deal. They take care of everything for you. They're expensive, but they take care of everything so that you're not your own distributor and you're not your own marketer on Amazon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But let me tell you, friends, I could have gone into old conditioning and just said, ah, I got an emergency and that's the only thing in front of me from this moment forward. I actually thought, wow, I got an emergency. I'm going to need to figure out how I can work with this and not lose my life, my priorities too. And I know how cold that sounds, but in real life, it turned out to be something very warm, very thoughtful, very doable. And it turned out that both of us get to have what we needed most. He needed care, and I was able to give him that. I needed to find a way to not just give up on my book forever and to make sure it could happen in the upcoming year. And I did that. But let me tell you, friends, when we get caught in these eight things I'm talking about, it's natural to think, my time is so important. It's natural to think you're going to continue to miss out and continue to have to wait indefinitely instead of just into the next calendar year. I want you to ask yourself, could I use a coach to help me with any of these things? Are you someone missing opportunity because you overthink? Is it possible you miss opportunity because you search out all the best advice and you spend 10 years doing it? Are you the person who gives your whole life over to others by being really, really crazy busy? Do you keep your intentions really safe? Nobody knows anything about them. Maybe you find yourself in those gray middle zones of saying, oh, if it's meant to be, I guess it'll somehow happen. Are you that person that rehearses a told story again and again for your audience instead of offering something new, getting into the fresh lane? Are you someone that drifts into your intellect instead of getting into your heart? Or maybe you go off on tangents when it's time to just offer yourself to your writing. Sit down at that blog. Let yourself feel inspired and just go for it. There's nothing wrong with producing a 3-paragraph blog and hit and post and getting it out there in the world. Nothing wrong with that. That is the most immediate form of self-publishing I can think of. And I want to tell you, people monetize this every day. People use this to enlarge their hearts every day. People use this to attract more into their world every day. There are ways for you to stop missing out on opportunity right now. If you need help with that, I would love to have a conversation with you. It's not a sales call. It's a conversation about where you're at and where you might want to try heading. You can find me at CoachDebbie.com. I bring you a new topic every single week, my friends. Until next Thursday, namaste.